Wow, Lord, that hymn strikes to my sermon, and I want to thank the Lord because I did not choose the hymn. But it, as we celebrate another Independence Day, another Freedom Day for our country, I want to thank you, O Lord, for giving us all this ability to gather without fear, without any harm coming to us. I want to thank the Lord for letting us live in a country where freedom still rings true. And this rings through, O Lord, as we say, may it be so. Please be seated. If you thought that was my sermon, you're wrong. What are we celebrating this weekend? I'm looking for one word from anyone here. Independence. Liberty, freedom. Freedom. That's, why are you laughing at me? We are celebrating freedom. And you think about all of the wars that we have been involved in, whether we were fighting the British, whether we were fighting each other in the American Civil War, whether it was the Spanish-American War, the First World War, the Second World War, we were trying to guarantee freedom in this world. People laid down their lives because they believed so much in freedom. And this is what has been one of the hallmarks of our country. We have people serving overseas now, trying to guarantee the freedom of people who hate us. They do. They hate us. But we have always stood up for freedom. But I have to tell you, in the last number of years, we seem to have taken the word freedom and made it free. Everything should be free. Now, I have two daughters who are in college, and they were supporting Bernie Sanders because he was going to pay for their college education. Well, having a master's in finance, I sat down with them and said, let's take a look at this and see how free this is. My older daughter's at Canisius, and I said, what's the tuition there? And she says, oh, I'm on scholarship. And I said, everybody's going to be on scholarship. And then we figured out what the tuition was. We multiplied that times the number of students at Canisius. And it was already hundreds of millions of dollars. And then we said, now, what about the university in Amherst? They have a lot more students than Canisius does. And by the time we had done just the local schools, we were nearly at $1 trillion. And they said, well, who's going to pay for this? The government. And I said, guess what? I said, you like that paycheck you get now, don't you? I said, would you be willing to give 80% of that so that everybody could go to school for free? And then it dawned on them, you know, that maybe that wasn't the best way to do things. Maybe people earning their way was different. And I know there are countries who do things differently than we do. And Bernie Sanders used to talk about Denmark so much. But their minimum tax rate in Denmark is 80%. They have a 25% sales tax. And if you buy a car, the tax on cars is 180%. And I said, now who is freer, us or them? I said, you know, what is freedom? I mean, we all argue about, you know, you should be free to do whatever you want. And that's why the world is in such shape as it is. This is why our country, we look at it now and go, what is going on? Everything has limits. Everything. I mean, the government can only write so many checks and then we'll be bankrupt. I swear, I'm just going to buy myself a new headpiece. Because this one never stays on. But freedom means different things to different people. Let's hope it works. we think about freedom as in two ways, both negatively and positively. All right? We have freedom on a positive sense because we live in America. We have freedom here because you can open up any kind of wacky church you want and no one will stop you. Do you know that our troops serving in Muslim countries are not allowed to take a Bible with them? We may be saving their freedom, but they don't understand freedom the way we do. Freedom for us is just that. You can do pretty much whatever you want. And that's what's gotten our country into so much trouble, because anything goes. I mean, I don't want to start looking at the politics right now because, you know, we'd be here all night. Freedom has its restrictions, though, doesn't it? I mean, you can remember the Supreme Court Justice Brandeis, who many years ago, they were arguing a case about freedom of speech. And he said, freedom of speech does not let you cry fire in a crowded building. There are limits to freedom. There are limits to everything else. We think about our servicemen who take an oath when they go in, when they are sworn in. We talk about police officers who take an oath. We talk about nurses who take an oath that they will do their best. So their freedom is limited. They can't say, well, I don't like this patient. I'm going to put them to sleep forever. That's freedom. It's a little ridiculous. I mean, Bob and I were both with the sheriff's, or with the in law enforcement, and so was Lee. There were times when we met with people we would love to have played God. There are limits on freedom. There are limits on everything we do. And in this country, we are so fortunate that we have such tremendous freedom to do what we want. But let me tell you, the freedom that we have in this life is nothing like what's waiting for us. I saw Jim and Holly Thompson's mother before the service this afternoon, and I was telling Jim and Holly that I said, my whole concept of heaven changed some 20 years ago when my mother died. I was with her when she died, and I was telling her, well, you're going to heaven. And she goes, no, I'm not. Now, that stunned me because my mother was an absolute angel. She said, I'm going home. And when we think about all the troubles that we have in this country right now, we look at the political process we're going through, we look at the candidates we're going through, and no matter which side you're on, you don't like the other. That doesn't matter. Because we have something greater that we are looking forward to. You know, we've often described Christianity as having one foot in this world and the other in the next. And I'm leaning heavily on the other one right now. When we worry about our country, yes, we should. We have here, July 18th, there will be a prayer vigil for our country. We should be praying for our country. We should enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country because we are so fortunate to be here. We are not living in Iraq or Iran or any of these other countries or China where everything is highly controlled. We have freedoms here. And as we all know, those freedoms are under attack. You know, we had Vice President Biden telling the Christians that we have to fall in line and be politically correct. Well, as my wife will tell you, I have never been politically correct. I'm not falling in line with a man. I'm falling in line with our Savior who died on the cross. Because that's where real freedom is. And this is where freedom comes from. We just sang the battle hymn of the Republic, and as I was reading the verses, thinking that this song came out during the American Civil War. And yet here are these men singing this song and praising God at the same time. They were connected with God. They felt they were doing the right thing. And unfortunately, so did the South feel that they were doing the right thing. So freedom is something that depends on your point of view. Freedom depends on your point of view entirely. Think about being a Christian, though. Where does the freedom come from? Freedom comes from in surrender. In surrendering all our wants, all our desires, all our inhibitions, all our biases, and living God's life. You see, Jesus Christ came, and he was a man, and he was God. But as a man, he set an example for us. He set an example for us on how we are to live our lives. How many times did Jesus get angry in the Bible? Once. Once. He went into the temple, and they had turned the temple of God into a marketplace. The rabbis were renting space out, probably at exorbitant rates, and making money. They had lost the freedom of knowing God and had turned the temple into a marketplace. They didn't know what freedom was. If you remember in the gospel today, when Jesus sends the 70 out, he says, you know, take no bag, take no money, take no shoes, because those are all a burden. Go and be free, and free the people that you talk to. Give them a life that they do not know. I'm sure we have enough people here who've been through this experience. We all work, right? And we work because we have bills to pay. We have children to feed. And we sometimes feel hemmed in by those things. And guess what? We all get through it, don't we? We all get through it. It's how we get through it that matters. You see, the truth will set you free. And only the truth that really matters in this world and the next comes from Jesus Christ. Freedom with Jesus Christ means this doesn't matter. Like my mother said, she's going home. Everything that we go through now is just a test. It's a test to see how much we love God. It's a test to see how we're going to deal with all of those things that happen to us during our lives. You know, think about people who have cancer. Both my mother and father died of cancer. My father was a deacon, and he suffered through cancer for 16 years before he died. But he was the freest man I ever knew. Because he used his cancer. He was a hospital chaplain in central Maine at a cancer hospital. And I may have told this story before, but we were out visiting him a number of years ago. And it was one of those surprise visits. We didn't tell them we were coming. And he and I were out running errands, and his cell phone rang. And it was the hospital calling, saying, could you come and see this man? He's being very belligerent, and so forth. So we get to the hospital, and we walk in, and the first thing that flies past my head was a bedpan. It was empty, fortunately. And this man started cursing unbelievably. And I won't go into that part. And he finally calmed down to the point. He said, what the blank are you doing here? And my father said to him, I hear you have cancer. And the guy swore a few more words and said, yeah, and what do you know about cancer? And my father unbuttoned his shirt, and there was a scar that went down his chest, around the side, and up his back. He says, I have lung cancer. What do you have? And you could see the guy's tension just drop. I said, Dad, I'll see you later. Because he needed to be alone with this guy. My father was so free with his life that he would show his scars to someone because he had been freed by Jesus Christ long before he ever had cancer. Cancer didn't kill his faith. Cancer killed his body. But like my mother, they're in heaven. They're at home because they have the freedom that you know only from Jesus Christ. And the truth will set you free. Amen.